Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. We get started this morning. Let me look at a couple of notes I have here. Anyway, you have the announcements in the bulletin, and a lot of things. It's a busy month, a lot of things going on. Just a reminder, December the 17th. Well, actually, let me start with today. This evening, 6 o'clock, we kick off Lottie Moon at Lottie Moon Dinner. The emphasis of the Lottie Moon offering, again, all of this money goes directly to international missions. And so we kick that off. And $2,500 is our goal. $2,500, all right? So then on the 17th, December the 17th, 6 p.m., we'll have our children's program in here. Actually, I skipped a Sunday. December the 10th, that Sunday evening, we've been invited to go back to Bullet Lick, and they have their Christmas program, choir, music special. And so next Sunday night, we'll do that at 6 p.m. with Bullet Lick. Then Wednesday, December the 20th, is the kids' Christmas party. It will be upstairs here. We will not have Wednesday night service on the 20th or the 27th, so just planning ahead. And also, I'll say more about this in the coming weeks. On Christmas Eve, we are going to do something Christmas Eve. We'll probably have a communion service, short communion service, and then have a Christmas Eve celebration after that. On the Christmas party here, 6 to 9, please bring $10 or less wrapped gift for exchange. That's the youth, the kids' Christmas party on December the 20th. Okay? Yeah, what did I say? Not New Year's Eve. New Year's. We will not have Christmas Eve service this year. Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, so we'll have that morning service. But New Year's Eve, yes. Thank you for correcting me on that. Yeah, New Year's Eve. All right. Where's Mike? All right, he missed out. Listen, Mike had something he wanted to say. Just catch him in the hall and ask him later, and I'm sure he'll fill you in, all right? We've met to worship, and we're going to worship a great God, wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's get focused, okay? Let's just kind of calm our minds, get focused. Let's pray, and then we'll begin our worship. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. What a beautiful gift you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior he is. And so, Father, let what we do now be to his glory and his glory alone. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
First week of Advent, so this will be the Passover candle. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. In this manner shall you eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. On all the gods of Egypt I will exercise my judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And I will see the blood, and I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt.
Christmas celebrates the birth of the true, unblemished Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The incarnate Son of God fulfills the picture that God gave Israel in the Passover. Jesus, the perfect Lamb, was sacrificed on the behalf of sinners so the judgment of God might pass over us. As we dwell in the world, our Egypt, we can rejoice because God's judgment passed over us. Just like Israel, let us live our lives with belt fastened, sandals on our feet, and staff in our hand, eagerly waiting to enter the promised land of God's eternal kingdom, His Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us live with eagerness to see others join us in our exodus from bondage to sin. Let us use this holy season to rejoice in Christ, our Passover sacrifice. As we gather with family and friends, let us plead with them to know the only sacrifice God accepts. As we light this Passover candle, let us meditate on our own exodus from Egypt, our deliverance from sin. Let us be thankful for the sacrifice of Christ and the mercy of God passing over our sins. Let us live with urgency and pursue our friends and family with the gospel of Jesus Christ through this holiday season.
Amen, and thank you for that. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 1. We're leaving Genesis just for the holiday season, and so we'll go through some writings about Christmas as we read through the next few weeks. And so Luke chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 38, and we'll be reading from the ESV version. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit of power and Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and he was wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak
And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray, please. Gracious Father, once again we come to you on the Lord's Day to worship. And we do so worship you for your holiness and perfection, and Lord, for your love for us. And Father, as we have just heard in your word this small piece of your plan, we know it's a perfect plan. It's a plan that presented the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior as you had ordained before you formed us. And the great privilege that we have of being part of that work, and so we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the word and for the privilege here at this church to read it aloud and pray over it. Tradition, in fact, that goes back to the beginning, where the Word of God is read, the Word of God is preached. And so we thank you for that calling, that privilege of doing it here in this place, among ourselves. And Father, may it strengthen us spiritually, that we might be out there in the world we live in, presenting the gospel of Christ to all that we can reach. And we'll thank you for any result you send our way, any answers to our prayers. In Jesus' most wonderful, worthy name, amen and amen.
Please rise.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Christ, my heart's adored, praise the everlasting Lord, late in time,
Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise, thou woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Please be seated. To the world the Lord is come, let earth receive a King, let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Scripture recitation this morning comes from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Let's stand and let's recite this together. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Be seated and let's pray together. Father, we hear those words that the time is near. Those words that were written so, so long ago, and yet, as the Apostle John writes those words, he's doing so with the understanding that the time is near. Father, the things like time and things like the unfolding of your plan of redemption. You created everything that exists, and then there was the fall, and all of your creations plunged into sin, and then that plan of redemption begins to unfold. At the center of that plan is you sending the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we enter into a season where we celebrate his birth, as we've been doing this morning, and having our minds go towards that, as we think about that, his birth, the birth of our Savior. Then we understand, we see what happened at the end of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. his ascension into heaven. Then the spread of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and all of this continuing until you, just as you created everything, you also, in your plan and in your providence, in your sovereign providence, you will bring things to an end. They will come to an appointed end. We don't know when that will be. Father, the words ring in our ears. John says, the time is near. The time is near. We are to live, your word tells us, we are to live with that expectation. We are to live understanding that each day is a precious gift from you. It's a day that we cannot waste. It's a day that we should not waste. Particularly on a day like this, as we come together on the Lord's Day to worship. So, Father, help us to hear also the Apostle Paul when he tells us, redeem the time. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with your Spirit that you've given us. Redeeming the time. Because Paul says about this time and about these days are evil. There's darkness. Darkness abounds. But there's the light of the gospel. And we have that light of the gospel. So, Father, as we open your word now, and as we continue to worship you in preaching and hearing your word, then, Lord, I pray that you work and move in our hearts. Pray, Father, we come together today as we're going to have communion together, and we remember the gift of your love. We remember the death of our Savior, and again, his burial and his resurrection. Stir within us that love. Stir within us that love that obeys. As we hear, and in our hearing, then let us be devoted to following, obeying, living for something bigger than our own ideas, living for something bigger than ourselves, living to the glory of Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of Luke. We do on the first Sunday, we have communion, so we're taking a break from Matthew. We've been in Matthew, and I want to take a break in Matthew, and I want us to, as you see, we're going to have communion. So I want us to start to focus on communion. And what is it we're about to do in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to do it from this passage in Luke. And I also want to tie into this. I guess you would have to be like on another planet to realize that we've entered into the Christmas season, right? I mean, if you're looking around going, what is all this strange stuff going around? Why am I hearing ho, 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 and this and that? You'd have to be from another planet. So I want to tie in the remembering of Christ with the remembering of him in this time of year. Because if we're not careful, then we get all wrapped up in all the other things. And we're aware of that. But I want to do so from this passage. This is what it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 27. This is what he says. As he said these things. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word, who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are rather those who hear the word of God and keep it. And keep it. Think about proper honor. You want to honor something, you want to honor somebody, and sometimes we've seen this, sometimes it's over the top. Sometimes it's just too much. you know, we give too much honor to somebody or something that doesn't deserve a lot of honor. And a lot of times that comes out of an emotional thing, right? We can get emotional, and sometimes the honor is over the top. Sometimes, though, the honor is just too little. Something deserves more honor than what we give it. And one of the reasons why is because we don't fully understand. So we're limited in our understanding. So either we can get all emotional and just go over the top with our honor and our praise. Or we can just have limited understanding. And we're too little. We don't honor and we don't praise enough. Sometimes, however, that honor can be misplaced. You see, this is what we should be honoring, but sometimes we misplace that, and we're over here honoring something that doesn't deserve to be honored at all. So either we get emotional and we go over the top, or we don't have full understanding and we don't honor enough, or it's misplaced. We're honoring something that has no business really being honored. And again, the reason why we could do one of those, I think one of the biggest reasons is because of our limited understanding. We're not fully aware of what it is that we're doing. And the second reason, especially as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, we're not thinking spiritually. We're not seeing with the eye of faith. And we're not thinking spiritually. We're thinking too much like the world. We're just thinking too much like the world. I want you to keep your finger here in Luke 11. Go to John 4. Go to John chapter 4. Take a right. Go to John 4. In John 4, Jesus is going through Samaria, which was the Jewish people. They just didn't go when they were going north. They didn't go this route because they had to go through Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. They went around it. But he's going through it. And in John 4... he runs into a woman, and this is the Samaritan woman, and he talks to this woman, which is another thing, especially Jewish men. They wouldn't be talking to women out in the public like this, but this is what happens in John 4. And so he comes, here is this woman. In verse 7, it says, "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water." So they're at this well. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, she would probably have been startled. What's this? And obviously, he was a Jewish man. And so, what's this man doing speaking to me, telling me in public, speaking to a woman, "Give me a drink"? So this is what he says to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, what are you doing here in the first place? How is it that you, a Jew, and a Jewish man to boot, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" This is taboo. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And then look at verse 9. Verse 9, well, let's continue reading from there, verse 8. For his disciples have gone away. And then verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." See that little editorial note? And then verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you only understood, if you could only see, you're looking at it in one sense. You're looking at it on one level. But if you could only see, and if you only knew, and if you only understood the gift of God, not only the gift of God, but also, and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You recognize one thing, and you're understanding one thing. You see a Jewish man, and it must be pretty obvious that he is he's sort of above the petty biases of the day, because he's actually talking to this Samaritan woman. So she's realizing something a little different about him. He's not your average run-of-the-mill Jewish man, but yet she doesn't fully know and understand who she's talking to. And this is what Jesus is pointing out. If you only knew. If you only knew. Here's a man, he's traveling, he's nice, he's speaking, and apparently above, again, the cultural biases of the day, but she had no idea who he was at this point. Now, as you read through and you see what happens, that changes. That changes. There's this exchange that he has with this woman, and then you get to verse 42 at the end of this. Not only does she believe, but she goes away, and you get to the very end of this in verse 42. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe." Now a whole bunch of people are believing. "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." If you only knew. Well, she came to know, and then others came to know. This is the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This limited understanding at the beginning, but then, of course, we know behind all of this is God's grace, and behind all of this is God opening this woman's eyes to who this is that's actually speaking to her. But if you knew, if you only knew who, if you only knew what. Now, let me make a little shift here. Let me make a little shift into our understanding of Christmas. Not only our understanding of Christmas, but our celebration of Christmas. Okay? Our celebration of Christmas. A lot of people will have sort of what I would call this warm, sentimental, borrow a phrase from Spurgeon, they'll have warm, sentimental, religious spasm or two about this time of year. Other times of the year, they don't. Maybe Easter. But about this time of year, some kind of warm, sentimental, religious spasm or two. Peace on earth? Yeah, we want that. Goodwill toward men? Yeah, we get into all that, etc., all the other things that we hear. You will hear some praise and honor Jesus. You'll even hear some of the language. What's sad in our culture is that you used to hear that was pretty common everywhere. Now it's not so common. In fact, even those who aren't believers who want to at least in a sentimental way honor Jesus get shot down by culture today. Get shot down. But you will hear some praise and honor Jesus. But so much of it, so much of the praise, so much of the honor is nothing more than just feel-good, emotional, cultural. It's sort of a reflex. It's what we've been raised with. It's what we know. It's just sort of this reflex. Mention Christmas, and it's just a sort of, again, a warm, sentimental reflex. Oh, yeah. And there's that baby in the manger. Special baby. Something different about that baby. But oh yeah, there's this special baby. My point in saying that is to say this, because there is an honoring. It could be emotional. Sometimes it could be over the top without no understanding at all. But then also there's this honoring, and it's very limited because the understanding is limited because you're not looking in the eyes with the eyes of faith. There's no spiritual understanding. It's more of a, let me say it this way, it's more of a cultural, again, warm, sentimental, feel-good reflex. Just a spasm. And it involves a little bit of religion. Because it does involve this baby in a manger. And again, special baby. But no spiritual perspective. No eternal perspective. Family gatherings, as important as they are and as beautiful as they are and as lovely as they are. Family gatherings, presents, and oh yeah, this baby. baby in the manger. But no serious thought about who and what. Who was this baby? And what did this babe do? What did he grow up to do? Now, I want to give a warning. I hesitate to use warning because I want this warning to be in the sense of a reminder, because we already know, and as you're tracking with me here and as we go through this and I talk more about it, it's just going to be a way of reminder for most of you because you know this, but I think at times we need to be reminded of these things because we become so forgetful. But also, I want it to be, in a sense, this warning not only as a way of reminder, but I want the warning to be a sense of encouragement. I want to encourage you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because as we enter into this season, each year, each passing year, over the last so many years, it is becoming increasingly difficult to stand up in a post-Christian culture and give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ this time of year. It's being shut out of so many places. It's being shut out of schools. It's being shut out of the public. It's being shut out in so many places. And if you stand and give praise to Jesus at this time of year, chances are you're going to have somebody try to shoot you down if you're on social media or any other place. So I want it to be a reminder, the warning to be a reminder, but I also want it to be an encouragement. And here's the warning, by way of reminder and by way of encouragement. Let's avoid the danger of warm, sentimental, emotional, feel-good honoring of Christ this time of year. Pretty simple. Let's avoid that. Let's don't just get warm fuzzies. Let's avoid that. Let's avoid just, I'll be home for Christmas, as great as that is. And as much as my wife would love for all of our children to be home for Christmas, I'm not downplaying that. That's wonderful and that's great. And if you're going home for Christmas, God bless you and be safe. But that's not all there is. That's where it does not need to stop there. I'll be home for Christmas. But let us honor. Let us honor, let us celebrate the true blessing of Christmas with spiritual understanding, with the eyes of faith. As we look at this time of year, let us honor and let's celebrate the true blessing of Christmas. Okay? You with me? It's a reminder. I know you know that. But I also want this to be a way of encouraging. Now, in this passage in Luke 11, you may be thinking, what in the world connection does this have with the birth? Well, it's there. It's there. But in Luke chapter 11, this very brief discussion, it's very brief discussion about blessing. About blessing. And there's two views on display about a blessing. Okay? Two views. Now, in the context, in chapter 9, verse 51, where we're at in the life of Christ, in chapter 9, verse 51, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is the end. So he's been up north in Galilee. He sets his face to go to Jerusalem. So he's going to travel back south, and he's going back to Jerusalem. We know what awaits him in Jerusalem. That's where he's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised the third day. And so he set his face to go. This is time. It's time to go. He's been up here for about 18 months or so. Now it's time to go south. He'll spend about 8 months or a year just outside of Jerusalem in Judea. And so this is where we are. We're in this time. Now the other thing that happens as he leaves the north and he's headed to Jerusalem and spends some time outside before the last week of his life, when he actually enters Jerusalem, opposition increases. This is where we really see the opposition against our Savior on the increase. And in some ways, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, in some ways, they're getting pretty desperate now. We've got to get this guy. And so when you get to chapter 11, what you see after he talks about the Lord's Prayer, and in this section, what you'll find is that Luke sprinkles throughout this section a lot of the things that we've seen on the Sermon on the Mount. And he sprinkles them throughout here. But when you get, after he talks about praying, after Luke shows Jesus talking about praying in the first part of chapter 11, now comes this confrontation. And it's over Jesus and Beelzebub. And it's basically this. Jesus is casting out demons. In verse 14, now as he was casting out a demon that was mute, when the demon had gone out, that mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Now, this is the ultimate blasphemy. He's doing this by the power of Satan. This man's not of God. And then that launches him into this whole issue about every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A divided household falls. If Satan is divided against Satan, against himself, how will his kingdom stand? And all of this. And so there is this encounter that he has. Verse 20, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, and the kingdom of God has come upon you. If this is God, the kingdom's come upon you. You nuts. It can't be Satan. Is Satan divided? You're crazy. And he talks about when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, and his goods are safe. But when a stronger attacks and overcomes him, takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And then there's this section here about the unclean spirit when it's gone out of a person, passes through the water. So there's this encounter that he's having with these religious leaders, and it's in this encounter that they're saying he's doing this by the power of Satan. Blasphemy. In fact, it is Matthew, right, who puts this in the context of the unpardonable sin. Blasphemy. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all this is going on, you just imagine the give and take that's going back and forth, the opposition, the heated opposition. We got to get him. We got to get him. You're doing this by the power of Satan. All of a sudden, in this, there's a voice of a woman. This is another taboo in this culture. A woman ordinarily wouldn't be speaking up and blurting out in public. But you see verse 27. Now, as we get into this, there's two views here, I think, of this blessing, because this is a brief discussion about blessing. There's two views here. One I call the fleshly view. It's not fleshly in the sense of sinful. It's just fleshly in the sense that it's limited understanding. And then the second view is what I'll call the spiritual view. Seeing with the eyes of faith, understanding spiritually the issue of blessing. Now, she raises her voice, you see in verse 27, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him. I don't think she was just kind of covering up and it almost, when you read this, I almost get the sense that this is full of emotion. There's this give and take, maybe. How long has she been with him? We don't know. Who is she? We don't know. Maybe she's been with him a while. Maybe she's heard the teaching. Maybe she's seen, no, this is going on, and she's just maybe just like, yeah. Yesterday in some of those football games, I guarantee you, there were some fans who were overcome with emotion and jumped up out of their seat and spilt their popcorn. Right? Especially when their team scored that touchdown. So I almost read it as if here she is, overcome with emotion, And she raises her voice, not mild, not meekly, but she raises her voice to be heard. And this is what she says. She says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. Now, the first thing about this fleshly view, this again, not so much a sinful fleshly, but very limited, earthly, worldly, is so limited in understanding. Now, was Mary blessed? Yes. She was blessed. We read this. We just read. Don read from chapter 1. And we read in chapter 1, we read in that, particularly in verses 26
through 28, we read of a blessing pronounced upon Mary, a blessing. We see it in verse 42 as we continue to read in chapter 1. We'll see this blessing again in verse 48 of chapter 1. So it is true. Was she there? Was this woman there at that time? We have no idea. But it is true that Mary is blessed. We do not worship Mary. And Mary is not co-redeemer. But she is a woman to be admired, a young woman to be admired. And she was blessed. And so this woman just blurts out, in the midst of probably what was a real tension-filled moment, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast which you nursed." So it's a very limited understanding. But it's also not only just a limited understanding, but it's a limited blessing. And I think this is what Jesus is going to point out. It's very limited. You're only thinking on one level. You're only thinking on one plane here. You're only thinking in one way here. And it's a very limited blessing. It could be that what he's going to say to her in just a second, it could be that what she's only thinking about his birth. You see, this is the connection with his birth. Mary gave birth to him. And it could be that she's only thinking in connection with birth. Blessed is the one, the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And it's only about child. It's only about Mary. And then it sort of stops there. But there's also another way, and I think this may be more of the meaning of what she's saying, and it may be that this is an indirect way of honoring Christ. It's an indirect way of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring him. But I think it's an emotional response. And I think it's an emotional response that does not go quite far enough. And I think this is what Jesus corrects. It's an emotional response to Christ. It's not entirely wrong. Mary was blessed. And we should remember Mary. We should honor Mary. She was a remarkable young woman. But we don't worship her. And again, she's not a redeemer like the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the mother. She gave birth to the Savior. Not entirely wrong, but it falls short. It's limited. Limited understanding. Limited blessing. So here comes the second view. This is how he responds. Verse 28. But he said, this is Jesus. Jesus says, "Blessed rather." Literally, it's this: "On the contrary, dear woman." On the contrary. It's one word, and that's what it means, on the contrary. Now, you can read it this way. You could read that what Jesus is doing is saying, "No, no, 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 no. Let me set you straight." That's the way you could read it. "No, but rather, you are wrong. This is what you should say." I don't think that's what he means. And I don't think the use of the word here that's translated "on the contrary," because in other contexts where this word appears, it doesn't seem to carry that kind of weight. You could read it as if Jesus is going, "Yes, yes, yes. Ah, dear woman, yes, yes, yes. And..." See, you could read it one way. You could read it where Jesus is saying, "No, no, no." Or you could read it where he's going, "Yes, yes, yes." I don't think that's right either. I think he is correcting. But I think he's correcting in this way. I think that what he's saying is, yes, but. You're absolutely right. But let me redirect your thinking here. Let me help you think in a different way here. Mary blessed? Yes. But there's something else you need to understand about this. There's something else here. So this leads to in the spiritual view, as opposed to fleshly. Again, fleshly, not sinful, but just limited. It's earthly, it's worldly. But now here comes spiritual in the sense of deeper, the eyes of faith, seeing with spiritual eyes now. Let me help you see something else that's here. Yes, but. And it's a spiritual understanding, seeing again with spiritual eyes. You remember the last verse that Don read as he read Luke chapter 1? I think it's important to hear it again. Because it's almost as if what Jesus is saying, let me tell you Mary's true blessing. You remember verse 38? This is Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You know what she's saying? I've heard. Don't understand it. But I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to obey. Here I am. Lord, whatever you're going to do, here I am. I will obey. I will obey. Mary's blessing was not of the flesh. Her blessing was not of the flesh. Her blessing was in hearing and obeying. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to take this in another way. Take it to another understanding. There's this responding, hearing, and responding. You notice this is what he says. But he said, they're blessed rather are those who hear the word of God. Now hearing, I don't really take the time to go through this, but just simply to say this, hearing is more than just hearing and then turning away and going, oh, okay, so what, that was great. Now on to the next. No, hearing is hearing, understanding, and believing. It's responding, and responding how? It's responding in obedience. Hearing, and what you hear turns you inside out and changes you, and you respond in repentance and faith, and you respond in obedience and following. These two go together. The hearing and obeying go together. So you can't say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm a hearer only. I love to hear. Woo, I love to hear. Did you read that Bible today? I love to hear those sermons. I love to sing those songs. But I have no intention of following. And I have no intention of obeying. That's not right. That's not what he's saying here. As if you could say, I think I'll hear, but I won't obey. Or maybe I'll obey, but I won't hear. How are you going to obey if you're not listening? And what are you going to obey? I don't know. I guess I'll make it up as I go along. Well, a lot of people doing that, and look where it's got us. So there is this hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. In this Romans, hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel, hearing of a Savior who gave his life, who shed his blood, was buried, was raised the third day, hearing of one who died not for his sins, but died for our sins. This is what we're about to remember right now, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for my sin. Wasn't for his sin. He was sinless. And yet he willingly laid his life down for me. He willingly laid his life down for sinners. He willingly gave himself as a sacrifice to satisfy and appease the very wrath of God for sin on our behalf. He bore the wrath of God so that I could then be set free. I hear that. What does it do to you right now? What is it doing right now as you hear that? I pray it's not just some warm, sentimental thing. I pray that it stirs deep within you. Maybe not a full understanding of all that. I don't fully understand all that. But I pray through the working of God's Spirit, it stirs deep, stirring, and a strange love you've never had before. A strange love, a wondrous love, a marvelous love that responds to the marvelous, wonderful love of God in Christ that he showed us. You see, I hear it. Blessed are those who hear. Not of the flesh, but blessed are those who hear and obey. And this James, listen, Christian, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer, hearing, doing, going together. There's an interesting passage in Ezekiel chapter 33. You go look at that passage in verses 31 and 32, and this same idea is put forth by Ezekiel as God's talking to Ezekiel. The same idea. They're going to hear, but they're not going to do. We see it in our Lord. He talks about it. In fact, you're in Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 6 real quick. Luke chapter 6. This is what he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why are you running around saying, Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I tell you? Why are you calling me Lord and you're not willing to follow? You're not willing to obey? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been built, it had been well built. But those who hear, but the ones who hear and does not do, it does not do them as like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation, and when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Why do you say you are a Christian and you have no intention whatsoever of following and obeying? Well, these are the words of our Lord. Blessed are those who hear and obey. This is full blessing. This is full blessing because the blessing at the end of the day is eternal life. It's things that are not of this world. John 4, if you know, Jesus said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is speaking with you. Christian, we know, do we not? Do we not know? Have we not heard? Are we not obeying? Well, I'm not perfect. I know you're not. Neither am I. Well, I fail this and I fail that. I know you do. So do I. But we have a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's His righteousness. It's His righteousness that covers me. I'm one with Him. I'm in Him. He's in me. He's given me His Spirit. So these two views of blessing, one this fleshly sense, and again, fleshly in the sense that it's just limited, it's earthly, it's worldly, didn't go far enough. Yes, but Yes, you're right in this, but here's what you really need to be thinking. Here's what you really need to be focusing in on. So here comes this spiritual understanding of hearing the Word of God, hearing the gospel, being changed by the grace of God, and following Him and obeying Him. Now let's go back to the warning where I started, the warning with Christmas. Again, a warning in the sense of reminder, warning in the sense of encouragement here. Some will only celebrate Christmas from the fleshly view. Very limited. Not much of a spiritual understanding whatsoever. But it will be from the fleshly view. Again, let me go back to the language I used earlier. It's just a warm, sentimental celebration with a baby thrown in. Although it's a very special baby, let me say that. We haven't seen a baby like that before. Not since. This is what I'll call the almost Christian celebration. You get close! Yes, but you're missing something. But as Christians, as believers, don't we see it another way? Don't we understand it in another way? We see with spiritual eyes. We see with the eyes of faith. We see this baby who? We see this baby. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh and dwelt among us. For what purpose? The who? The what? To save His people from their sin. Isn't that what they said? You're going to call Him Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. How did He do it? It's the cross, death, burial, resurrection. Go to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16, this is what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. He says, now, listen, from now on, therefore, we, Christians, believers, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't look at it from the flesh. We don't look at it from these earthly things. We don't look at it from an earthly point of view. We don't look at it Jew, Gentile, and this and that. We as Christians, we regard no one according to the flesh. But listen to what he says. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, He was a real man, truly man, truly God. Well, some have made a big thing about, well, Paul didn't see the flesh and this and that. That's to miss his point. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, but now listen to this statement. We regard Him thus no longer. Not according to the flesh. We regard Him thus no longer. And then this launches him into, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. If you're not in Christ, you're not a new creation. Jesus is just a good man to you. Jesus is just some maybe historical person. Or Paul says, no. Believers, we don't regard Him that way anymore. We regard Him for who He is. We regard Him for who He is. We regard Him for what He's done. We regard Him as the Savior. You see? And then that he goes on about this new creation, and you get to the end of this passage, wonderful passage. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ in God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. How are you reconciled to God? Not through some fleshly, ordinary man. You are reconciled to God through Christ, through God himself. That's how you're reconciled. That's the true blessing. Knowing, if you only knew the who and the what. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, believer, we know who he is, do we not? Then let's avoid at all cost. Let's avoid at all cost. Cost, not honoring him this time of year the way that he should be honored. We set this time apart, this time of year is Christmas, and we say that Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't cave to the pressures of culture. It's going to be great. The temptation's going to be great. Don't cave to the pressures of culture. Don't cave to the pressures of an unbelieving family. Don't cave to that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now listen, don't be foolish either. Don't be stupid. Just live to the glory of Christ and give honor to the Christ. You are an ambassador even at your Christmas celebration. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't cave to the pressures at work, the Christmas celebrations, and you say, hey, do you mind if we pray before we... Ah, here's that Christian nut. Do you mind if I say anything about Jesus? Go ahead. Let's get this Christian stuff out of the way. See? Don't cave to that mess. Be encouraged here. Be encouraged to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand this. At the end of the day, here's what's happening. You see, the true blessing of Christmas is an aroma of death to some people. You understand that? It is an aroma of death because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to those of us being saved, it is a sweet smelling aroma. I'm celebrating the birth of my Savior, and I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I hear, and I'm going to obey. We're about to remember. We're about to remember a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Jordan, you can come, and we'll sing. Father, we pray now, Lord, bless as we hear your word, we think now, we remember now the wonderful, beautiful Savior in Christ. Oh, Father, your blessing be upon us, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yeah, David's Lord. By his son God now has spoken, 'tis the true faithful word.
Tell me you hear him groaning. Was there ever grief like his? Friends,
many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save.
But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke
the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load.
He's the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man.
Here we have a firm foundation. Here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded on him their hope hath built. Lamb of God for sinners. none shall ever be confounded, who on him their hope hath built.
Be seated. We'll have communion now. If men will come, prepare the table. Always give these instructions when we take communion together, and we need to understand this very, very basic understanding. Communion is not saving us. We are doing this because we are saved. We're doing this because we love Christ. We're doing this because we're told to do this in remembrance of him. Remembrance of what? His death, his burial, his resurrection. And it's not a fleshly remembrance. Remembrance with the eyes of faith. Everybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And saved completely. And saved to the uttermost. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Trusting you right now. Let's just be silent. Whatever God needs to do, deal with you in your heart, let him do.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Man, he arose. Let's go live for him. Hey, we don't hold our head down to nobody. We don't take a back seat to nobody. We are children of the living God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, is our elder brother, and we follow him. He's won the victory, right? Let's go. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Lighty Moon, dinner, kickoff. This week we have outreach, too, Thursday night, and then at 6, and then Saturday, 10:30. Ralph, dismiss us in prayer.